had the camera rolling, and I told him who I was and asked him a couple of questions, and I streamed live video back to the website of the daily newspaper, and the editor was extremely happy with that and went out and bought the kit. And this is back in 07. I was using Nokia phones well before these things arrived. I discovered that, good and bad, very easy to use, very discreet. People think you're just taking a still photograph. I've used these cameras in very discreet places. I've been thrown out of casinos in Macau. You're always connected. The public accepts them, so they don't seem to worry. If you have a big camera on your shoulder, people will perform for you. If you've got one of these, it's much more natural. And it's kind of cool. And there are some bad things as well, which I'll talk about later. So there's a free way of doing it, which I'll talk about, using some very basic software. There's one Quick, Bambusa, Flick Wagon, there are a whole lot of them. The software's free, they work on most phones. The downside is the video goes to the web of the company that provides the software. So if you've got an exclusive, you're surrendering it to the software company. But very easy to use. The full version, I call it the pay version, is using an iPhone. Of course, the app is called iMovie. It's about, it's about £3 to buy. And in some cases, with the new iPads, you get it for free, built in. It only works on the iPhone, so you're limited. You need, basically, Apple's very cunning. It's forcing you to go out and buy their gear. But you control where the video goes. You have, and therefore you can have some. And you need about a day of training, though increasingly the software is becoming more and more intuitive as well. From the simplest to the more complex, this is an app I use called TS Video, which is brilliant. It looks as though you're reading a book, and actually you're filming. And that's how I got away with filming in the casinos, when the guards came up and said, "Look, I'm just reading a book." And they were... I thought I was being very clever, until one of them caught me and threw me out. That's another matter. So I've broken the iMovie process down to 6 parts, and that's why I'm using this, because I'm going to demonstrate as we go along. So part one is dead easy. It's what every journalist does. It's preparation. Yeah? You make sure that the battery's fully charged. You've got a recharge device. You've got some way of delivering your content from the field, and I recommend one of these Wi-Fi devices. This is 4G, so it's quite fast. There are lots of these being offered now by various companies. Then you do all the other stuff you always do. You research a story, arrange your interviews, plan where you're going to go, all the stuff. This is fundamental journalism. We don't need me to tell you about this. But it does help to have something to think as you're planning your story, roughly how long are you going to give this? Is it going to be a minute's video? Is it going to be a 3 or 4 minute production? So it helps to be thinking about the duration fairly early on. Then now we've jumped to a location where you're doing your filming. You obviously need some sort of establishing shot, because that's one of the conventions of television. You take both stills and video, and you know with the iPhone it's just a very easy thing to flick over between shooting stills. And what I tell people, what I really recommend, is that each time you take a still, check it, have a look at it. If it's a crap photograph, delete it and take another one. And the same with your video. If you've got a good piece of video, fine. If it's a dodgy piece of video, very easy to delete and start again. Because you're on location, it's very easy to reshoot the particular scene. You probably will do your interviews on site as well. It does help to have a tripod, only because if, let's say I'm interviewing Paul, we're just sitting having a chat, I like to have the camera set up about here so he and I are maintaining eye contact as you do, but I don't have to worry about it. I just turn the camera on and just now I focus on the interview. I don't have to worry about anything. I know this is stable. I've got a stable image. If you don't have one of these, it's called a GorillaPod because it's quite cool. You can fold it around tree trunks or your arm. You can also use other things as a tripod, like maybe a chair or a desk or something, but you do need it. I think with interviews, it's nice to know that the camera's steady and the camera's rolling and you don't have to worry about it. If anybody would like a copy of this presentation, just I'll hand out my card. You'll have my business, my email address. Just email me and I'll fire it back to you. This one's about a bit over 2 megs, so it should... Gmail can convey it quite easily, I think. I write about wine, so I've got an excuse for having a glass of wine. And I think when you're on the scene, you also need to make a decision, am I going to do a piece to camera? Some people... I was a print journalist for a long time. I used to think only wankers do piece to camera, so it was a TV thing, but it's got its uses. And it's nice. It can be a nice ego trip as well. It's up to you. It's your choice.
What does that mean? Sorry.
A piece of camera is when you turn the thing around. Here I am in front of the... you've got the protesters behind you. Here I am...
So you have a selfie then?
Yeah, basically you're establishing you are. You're there. Yeah. So here I am in front of the Bank of England building talking about the devaluation of the currency. But basically, it's your piece. You're talking to the camera. Yeah. You're summarising. It has the attraction of, if you've got two pieces of video that don't quite flow, you can use the piece of camera as a bridge. So it's got its uses. A few tips when shooting with a mobile phone. It's got a digital lens, and if you move too quickly, it just blurs. So please resist the urge to pan and tilt. So panning is like this, tilting is nodding your head. Resist the urge. Better to keep the camera still and let the action come into the view frame of your phone. And that's where you use things like escalators, entry points, exit points. So if you want to show a crowd, the best place to stand is where the crowd is coming in the room or going out the room. You get that sense of movement, but you're not moving. You've got the camera stable, and the action's coming and going into the viewfinder. You can actually get very non-jerky, quite solid video by using your body as a tripod. So essentially, you put your legs at about shoulder width, and you lock your arms in, and so rather than moving the camera, you just move your body. If you do need to do this thing, yeah? And this is where I learned this trick from a British Army sniper. Apparently, when they shoot people, there's a technique of breathing. So you take a big deep breath, and then you only squeeze the trigger when you're not breathing, when you stop breathing, when you're holding your breath. And you can actually take 15 seconds or 20 seconds of good video by holding your breath. Most people can hold their breath for 15 or 20 seconds, so you're not getting that sort of jumpiness. You can actually control your breathing and get a nice fluid take. Most of the time you're going to be shooting very short clips because the conventions of video TV are you want to keep it fairly short. Not many news items on video items on the web are going to be more than a minute and a half. People have fairly short attention spans, so we tend to keep the videos quite short. So a minute, 60 seconds of video is probably might consist of 8, 9, 10 pieces. So most of those sections are quite short. So you don't need to film for 40 seconds. You can film for 15 at a time, that's plenty. Sound is very important, when I talk about the voiceover later, I'll talk about the sound. But essentially, if you're going to do an interview with somebody, you really need to get quite close. So about as far as I am from Paul right now, Why? Because the microphone in the phone is quite good. At this distance, you'll get very, very good sound, broadcast quality sound. But if I'm trying to film Sophie from here, her voice is not going to make it. So I'm going to need to have either a microphone or a wireless mic. And I was pricing one recently. For 30 quid, you can get a really good, what are called a level ear mic. It just clips under the collar of somebody and plugs into your phone, and you get really good sound if the person needs to be away from you. But generally, I do my interviews quite close. I like that intimacy. I think it's a mobile phone reporting is quite an intimate medium anyway, so you want to get fairly close to do your interviews. Editing, I think, is where the magic is. Yeah.
Sorry, just before you move on, when you hold the tripod off to your side when interviewing someone, do you ask them to look at you during the interview?
Yeah. So you'll sit them down, you'll set the camera up so that it's sort of, even though he's looking at me, it looks as though the camera is looking at the camera. It's basically both the camera and me. The other option you've got.
There's a tendency to address the camera because they feel like they're talking to me.
And that's why I tend to keep I've got this on the table quite close to me, so the camera is at the same eye level as me. But even though if he's looking at me or the camera, it's still going to look as though it's quite real and normal. Another option is to hold the camera during. If you do need to hold the camera, you can actually hold the camera here. As long as you don't block your mouth, it still looks as though we're maintaining eye contact, and it still looks quite real in the viewfinder. So that's another option you've got doing an interview like this. It depends. If you've got a tripod, then use the tripod. That way you can use your hands and take notes if you need to. But if you don't have a tripod, then do it this way.
Can I ask how much is that iPod?
The tripod?
Tripod. Do I say iPod?
Yeah, tripod.
It's called a tripod.
Pass around if you like. It's probably...
It's about 50. If it never, you can get on Amazon for anywhere between 20 to 30, depending on...
Pounds?
Yeah.
Oh, okay. Yeah. Oh, well, they're a lot cheaper in Hong Kong. That was about £7 in Hong Kong.
So how much did you say?
Yes, about 30. £30.
Do you find this tendency though, if when you look at the camera, especially if it's here in front of you, if you look at it just to check you're still, that they pause talking as soon as you look away?
That's why the editing is so important. You just turn the camera on, as long as you know it's rolling, you know, you're getting the counter ticking over, you don't need to worry about it. As long as you've framed up the camera and you know that it's recording a good, clear picture, you don't need to look at the camera thereafter. Apart from occasionally you might flick down, but most of the time you're maintaining eye contact. And with practice it becomes quite second nature. Yeah. But again, that's where I like the tripod, because I'm not thinking of it. I know the camera's running, I know it's stable, all I'm caring about now is doing the interview. Yeah. A very good question, thank you. Oh, and please feel free to, I'm in no way offended if you ask questions, that's good. I think the third stage, the editing, is where the magic happens. Because with the other forms of mobile phone stuff, you can't edit. You know, if you use Quick or Bambusa or whatever, you get a piece of video, but it's only the video between you pressing record and pressing stop. You can't edit. With this, you can edit, and I'll show you in a little while. It really is amazing what you can do with the editing process. So, as a general rule, I want something strong as my opening image. It's the same as if you're writing a print story, you want a strong introductory opening sentence or paragraph. Same thing with video, you want a good, strong opening piece of imagery. I'll talk about the titles when we do the captions. Duration, again, once you've done your filming, you've got a pretty clear picture of how much material I've got. So if you're going to produce a minute of final product, you don't need to shoot more than about 5 or 6 minutes of actual video, because the rest of it's going to be wasted anyway. So that minute I did today, I think I filmed for 10 minutes all up. Actually had 10 minutes of content. And half of it I threw away when I previewed it anyway. I recommend a storyboard, which is I just keep a notebook in my top pocket, and then I just box out the each of these little boxes represents a piece of video, so I've just planned it out. So when I sit down to edit, I know I want that there, that there, that there, that there, and that there. So it really is a little aid memoir to planning your story.
I've never shot video before, so like, is that something that you kind of picked up intuitively?
You mean filming? Shooting video?
Yeah, knowing. Like what sections go.
Have you watched TV?
Yeah.
Have you reviewed the movies? Have you watched commercials? It's probably already in your DNA because you've spent so many years of your life. You'll know that there's a certain rhythm you get. And with practice, it comes quite easily. It takes longer for old farts like me. For you, it's fine. It'd be natural. Yeah. So,
what would you say the issues are with data? Because obviously, I know a lot of the issues now with data. Like, I know most contracts I'm on, and I know friends are on, in journalism, is very limited. And like, I've only got 500 megabytes. That's the limit to how much I can upload to the internet at any one time.
Mm. There's a phrase in America, you can never be too rich or too thin. Now it's too rich, too thin, and have enough. unlimited data is, if possible. I've got a plan with this. I pay, with EE, I pay £11 a month for 5 gig. And that's about, it's not bad.
That just avoid Orange.
Yeah. I'm sure if you ask your colleagues in the room, you'll get some sense of the good people and the not so good people too.
And I think Vodafone are pretty bad.
Yeah, EE are terrible.
Yeah, but when it was T-Mobile, it used to be great.
Three
are probably the best. I would say three are easily the best choice.
That's £25 a week.
In terms of broadband and your MiFi units, things like that.
Mm. Yeah. I've heard good things about three, but I'd already locked myself into a one-year contract. If possible, I tend to use one-year contracts rather than two-year contracts because I'll talk about data later on. Very good question, because it's one of the key, apart along with battery life, it's one of the key issues you've got to consider. I think the best thing with editing is to demonstrate. Sorry, I haven't done that. What I'll do is fire up the software.
Yeah,
free.
No, it's an iOS. I just deleted it.
So this is the front page of my iPad. So I've got the five apps I use all the time. Google Capture, which is, if you're totally new to this stuff, and when I was teaching seasoned print journalists on the South China Morning Post who'd never shot video or done anything in their life, I started them with Google Capture because it's foolproof. You cannot make a mistake. It's so brilliantly set up. It's made by Google, but it's only available as an iPhone app. Go figure. And I'm sure it's because it links to your. You have to set up a YouTube account to use it. So it's Google's way of making more and more people send video to YouTube. But it's great. You literally, if you try to film this way, it won't even let you. It forces you. You can't hit the record button and nothing works until you turn this way. You hit record and you hit stop. And as soon as you hit stop, it goes straight off to your YouTube account. That's it. There's nothing else apart from hitting record. It's almost foolproof. So if you're really new to this stuff, then start with something like Google Capture. Free and a good piece of kit. Quick is one of those ones I mentioned before. The beauty of this is it works on all smartphones, and there's a range of them. Flixwagon, Bambusa, Quick, there's a whole lot of them, and they're all cross-platform. They'll work on pretty much any smartphone. So just go to the website, quick.com, and you'll see a link down the bottom where it says what phones are supported. You choose your phone, and you click it. It asks for your mobile phone number and delivers the software to your phone. It's very clever. iMovie, which is the one I'm going to talk about, is the best product available for Gannett, which is the biggest newspaper chain in America, has just bought 1,200 iPhones and installed iMovie on it for their daily newspaper journalists. Vodeo is from a Canadian startup. It's the Rolls Royce of this sort of stuff, but you need about 3 days of training. Does anybody use Final Cut Pro here? Yeah. Remember you learning Final Cut? It's fairly complicated. Well, this is Final Cut Pro on an iPhone. It's brilliant what you can do with it, but the learning curve is quite steep. And TS Video, I think I mentioned before, it just looks as though I'm reading a book, and I press this little button here, and it records. So it's very clever. So iMovie.
How much are these apps?
iMovie is $3,000.
Free on the
new one.
How much
is
that? Yeah, quite cheap.
It was a pound.
Oh. Mm. That was quite good.
Very useful if you're, think of a situation where you're not supposed to film. It's nice to be, I'm just reading a book. It's also got an option of looking like a spreadsheet, so you can say, I'm doing my calculations, I'm doing my expenses.
In the middle of a casino.
So I'll choose a new movie. And so it gives you a range of templates across here. So you can choose any of these templates. It looks gives you an idea of what it looks like. I use Simple because it's nice. I like Simple Create Movie. And it gives you three parts of the screen. So the video I just shot a few seconds ago, a work area here, and this is obviously the editing point, and so if I want to preview something, I tap the piece of video, and you can see I've got a choice of this little button. If I press that, it plays it.
Stephen's written reports.
Funny when it's us.
It's a half Stephen Quinn here. Stephen offered to come and speak.
So I've just got a bit of video here. So you can now preview it, yeah? So the other button here, you tap that one, and it drops it down into the work area. And it shows me I've got 31 seconds of video here. I've got an...
And you've got an iPad Mini there, yeah?
Oh, yeah.
Does that perform any differently to the, full-size iPad?
It's a matter of personal preference. I use this more and more for two reasons. One is I've got fairly large hands, and I can do it much, much more easily than here. I tend to hit the wrong button on the smaller screen. That's one. But the battery life is a killer on this. It doesn't last. Whereas a full charge will last me a whole day, a couple of days. Continual work, non-stop work. And I've made videos. I was in Italy earlier. A year ago now. And I was doing two videos a day. time flows. You're having fun.
Is there any software that I can use on my phone, upload to my desktop and continue editing? Because there was... I use, when I'm out with journalism and making notes, I use it in Microsoft Office, and that obviously saves to the cloud, so I can download it back onto my desktop and use...
Ah.
So I've got on my desktop now, but professional editing software. Like, is there any like cross mobile platform that I can film and then upload?
Between Android and iPhone?
Desktop, Windows, iOS.
I don't know. This is a short answer. Can anybody help? Anybody?
You could upload it to.
Send your file to Dropbox.
Yeah.
They'll
use Google Drive.
Or even YouTube. You can upload it and download it and use the YouTube editor itself.
So I just dropped about a minute's worth of video into my work area. It's quite fascinating. I can also add photographs, so all my photographs and all my audio as well, so I can add theme music and so forth. So I can drop in stills if I want. Say I want to, I'll drop in a photograph of something in the middle here. Photograph. Mm-hmm. Okay. Right. If I tap any piece of video, so I've got about 30 seconds of video to open here. If I tap it, notice it's got a little yellow bar. I've got a bit of crap here I don't like, so what I can do is just literally grab it and drag till I get rid of the cracky bit that I don't like. So I'm going to start my video a bit further along. So I want to start about there. So I've just removed the beginning bit. The other option is that I go back to the beginning. I scroll through to the point where I want to start my video. And if I tap it once and just slice down here, I've just edited. I've just cut those two pieces of video. And I double click on here and delete the bit I didn't want. That's how easy it is to cut and edit. And there's obviously a restore button. If you make a mistake, you can always go back and set. So I'm going to go through to here. Actually, I think I want to start there instead. So again, I'll just slice through, double click, remove, delete that bit. So I've now got my opening shot here. And I don't like that mucky bit at the end, so I might just come back to here and I'll get rid of that bit. So I've got a nice opening credit there. If and also you can with on screen you can pinch it. So if this is too big, I can actually squeeze it in. That's much more manageable here. So if I want to say I want to move this along the timeline, just put my finger on it and shift it. And I can shift things around. It's really kind of cool. Now I've got an interview here, you can see, if I'll play it for you.
So what's it like being a rock star?
Oh, you know. Yeah, you get away with it from time to time.
Okay, that's probably where I want to end the. So I don't know if you can see it. You can see the waves, indicating the conversation. So I often can use the flat points as my editing. I know that he's stopped talking there, so I can edit there. So you can actually use the visuals, and there's a little button here that turns that on and off. But I usually have it on, so it helps me with my editing. So I can just. Oops. So I've now got that, I can now lose that bit there. Okay. One of the nice things too is that say I'm actually a bit short of video and I need a bit extra. So if I press this record button. I can add a little bit of extra video.